The accountants of tomorrow, today. Riftaccounting.com.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. It's now an absolute pleasure to welcome into the Counting House the Rift Accounting sponsored section of the show, and we're going to talk to Ollie Clark from Roe Atlantic. Ollie, good afternoon.
Hi,
welcome back.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me. Yeah, it's great to be back.
Yeah, absolute pleasure.
Land.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, have you got your sea legs still there?
It was horrendous getting off, but a couple of days later we could walk straight and didn't hit too many door frames, so it was good.
Cool. You very kindly came on the show before you set off on this epic adventure last year and told us all about it. Can you just very quickly remind the listeners what the Atlantic Challenge was all about and your and Dan's part in it?
Yeah, of course. So it's a Talisker Atlantic Challenge itself. It's rowing from La Gomera in the Canary Islands all the way over to Antigua, approximately 3,000 miles, unsupported. There's classes of four people in a boat, two people in a boat, and one person in a boat. We set off in December, and it took us 42 days,
wow.
17 hours, and 53 minutes.
So we not that you were counting or anything.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And we managed to win up our pairs group, which was fantastic, and yeah. Raising some money in the process for our two charities, which is Prostate Cancer UK and ABF, the Soldiers Charity.
Fantastic. This epic voyage of yours must have taken determination and resilience. Two of you alone in the Atlantic. It must have required some amazing teamwork as well.
Oh, without a doubt, a good sense of humour and understanding each other was key. Yeah. Both Dan and I had sort of low points and high points, and we sort of helped each other out, sort of get out of those low points, and would encourage each other the whole way.
Mm.
And not to mention the times before, so the team itself is bigger than just Dan and I. It's our families, our friends,
yeah.
And the support we had. So, and likewise, Rift was part of the team, and our other big sponsors are all part of the team, so made it happen, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. So give us a flavour of what you two guys went through on this epic journey.
Where do I start? Getting to the start line was probably the biggest challenge, if I'm honest.
Right.
Just raising the money and the awareness. Mm. Once we were there, it was the easy part, so to speak. We set off guns blazing to sort of have a bit of impact on the fleet itself, and it was 2 hours on, 2 hours off when we settled down. So I rowed for 2 hours while Dan was maintaining the boat himself and trying to get some sleep. And then we would rotate, and if we had chance, we were feeling good, we would sort of both jump on the oars. We were sort of faced with quite large waves. We had a couple of storms which saw us capsize.
Wow.
40 degrees heat, stuck in a cabin, wasn't too pleasant.
So let's just explore that a moment. In the middle of the Atlantic, in a dirty great storm, and you've capsized. Is that both of you out of the boat, or you know?
I was driving, so it was my fault, really.
It was you, Dan did mention that, yeah.
So Dan was in the cabin trying to do some bits and bobs. I caught a sort of quite large wave. We were hand steering at this point because our steering broke, so we're going down this wave, which is great, and then a larger one came in from the side, which I didn't see coming, and just tipped us over. I sort of got plonked in the water, and it righted itself, thankfully.
Mm.
I jumped back on, sort of a bit of a sort of damage assessment, and then obviously checked if Dan was all right, and then jumped back on the oars, and Dan had to deal with the dirty cabin because
the bailing out. Yeah. Blimey.
What support did you have if things did go really wrong, Ollie?
So all the mechanisms were in place to, if anything did go wrong. So we had a sort of emergency beacon if we really needed it. We had comms via sat phone to the duty officers, which would give advice. But ultimately, we were by ourselves. It would take 3 days for someone to come and rescue you unless there was a passing ship that would, if we called a mayday, would have to come and rescue us out of sort of legalities. So, yeah, up to 3 days from rescue. It's a little bit daunting, but made it quite exciting at the same time.
Absolutely. If I remember rightly, and forgive me if I've got this wrong, yourself and Dan are both members of the armed forces, yeah?
Just myself, actually. Dan works for a...
He couldn't get in. They wouldn't let him in, huh?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
um, So, you know, certainly for you, and I'm sure for Dan as well, I mean, you're quite used to doing these kind of challenging projects, I'm sure. But in terms of just two of you alone in the Atlantic and things going wrong, I want to explore a little bit how you motivate, encourage, support and keep each other going.
Mm. Again, another interesting one. We both were pretty determined from the off to do well, to cross the Atlantic, and we didn't want to let anyone down, pretty much. We didn't want all this hard work to go to waste, so we were pretty resourceful in how we came up with solving problems. We knew what our end goal would be. We knew the next day we would have a high, like we would get an email from someone which would lift us again, and we'd be on cloud nine, and then something would break and we'd be down there. But it was just maintaining the end goal, really, knowing that in a few more days we would be a few hundred miles further, a few more days we'd be almost halfway there, et cetera, et cetera. And before you knew it, we were at the finish line.
Just like that.
What was the worst point then, Ollie? Was it sort of in the middle of the journey? Probably
during the storm, some bits and bobs broke. So we'd had a run-up of breakages from power to water to our steering, and in the storm our arm that attaches itself to our rudder, the block broke off, so it was between the two of us fixing that in 40-foot waves in a sweltering cabin, and also not knowing where we were in the race, because we didn't know whether a team were 200 miles north and on a nice current whizzing ahead, and we were stuck, stagnant, not being able to make any difference to our progress and possibly losing our lead. So that was probably the lowest point,
right,
I would say.
Okay. As you said when I asked you, you know, it's almost impossible. You must have so many stories and so many things must have happened to you. I want to explore something slightly different, though. Obviously, this is primarily a business show, and we talk to a lot of small business owners and entrepreneurs. And entrepreneurs are normally kind of defined as people who take risk in the hope of some kind of gain, maybe financial or whatever. I'd like to put you on the spot and kind of ask you what kind of advice you would give to people that are thinking of taking on something as risky as rowing the Atlantic.
Oh, good question. It's certainly an element of risk versus reward, without a doubt. And not being able to fail, not being scared of failing. If you're worried about failing, you're never going to achieve what you want to, because you're never going to push your limits. You're never going to push your team.
Right.
So without pushing your limits, you've got to take risks to push your limits.
Yeah.
So I think that's the connection between extreme sports and entrepreneurship and businessmen that have been successful in what they do.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it does. And I don't want to miss the first bit, because I think the first bit of what you said there is crucially important as well. What you intimated there was you need a baseline to start from. You know, in your case, some sailing skills or rowing skills or some kind of, you know, comfort zone with the boat. Because without that, you're nowhere. And I think that's a really good point, that, you know, you've got to start from somewhere and you've got to have a starting base that you're comfortable with in order to take the next set of risks.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Dan's the sailor, so I had complete confidence in his knowledge.
Right.
I suppose I've got my military background, which sets me at a level of understanding the body and being in tricky situations.
Sure.
But for both of us, we'd never been in a rowing boat. I'd never been middle of the Atlantic or been subject to storms like that, so it was an interesting thing, but we had a go at it and it turned out all right. So
I think you had more than a go at it.
that's the biggest
understatement. We had a go at it. They won. So bring us up to date with where, you know, stepping ashore when you got to the finishing line. You know, just take us through that last few moments of that voyage and how you felt, what you saw, what you knew at that point.
Yeah, of course. I mean, probably one of the best feelings in our lives, I'd say.
Wow.
So coming around the corner, it was pitch black, and we'd wondered whether we should maybe slow up to come in the day for a better reception, but we're thankful. We wanted to go as fast as we could, so we ploughed on to try and make last orders.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Ollie. At this stage, were you aware of where you were in the race?
Yes, course we were, yeah. We knew we had about a day's lead on the guys behind us.
A day's lead?
Yeah, about that. So 70-odd miles. So we knew we were ahead, and we were confident towards the sort of latter stages that unless something went drastically wrong, which it could do, we would hopefully manage to get the win of the pairs. But certainly coming around the corner to see super yachts sort of lighting up the sky, and then friends and family, as we came in and crossed the line, they sort of lit up their flares, and that sort of illuminated us and everything around. It was incredible.
Wow.
And then as we came round to the jetty where we were mooring up, yeah, there were probably 100 people all screaming and shouting. It was, yeah, fantastic. Certainly very memorable.
I'm sure it was. I mean, as you said, it must be one of the highlights of your life so far to
Definitely.
Achieve something like that, having never done anything like it before. Absolutely phenomenal achievement. And you raised loads and loads of money for your two charities.
Yeah, so we've done all right so far. Well, the boat's come back, and we collected that yesterday.
Right.
So a lot of the money's held in the boat. So when we sell that, we'll have a better idea. But we're estimating around the £80,000 mark.
Wow.
For the two charities, which would be fantastic.
Can I just ask, where you're going to sell the boat? In what way are you going to sell the boat? Are you just going to put it on eBay and see if someone wants to buy
you
it?
You should buy it, so we can go off next year.
Is there an auction for it, or what's going to happen?
So we'll put it on a couple of websites that do
boat sales,
the ocean rowing boat sales, and just word of mouth, really. There's sort of a niche bunch of people that are interested in it, but it's everyone knows each other within reason, so we've had a few interests in it.
I don't know boats. I'm more of a land-based person, and I used to own a motor racing team. And when we sold our cars, we always found that we got a premium for the car if we'd won something with it.
But so, they can't say sort of two lady vicar owners, can they? It's been all round the world.
One careful lady owner. But what I'm saying is these guys won with it. And you know, so it's got to have a premium on that boat because it's a winning boat.
Hopefully that'll keep the price and if not push the price up. It's a sort of proven boat. And because it was from new, we've sort of ironed out any issues that we had with it, so it should be even quicker next time, and we've got advice to go with it. So.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you a $64,000 question, Ollie. Would you do it again?
To be honest, I would, but merely just to try and get a quicker time. That was something we sort of aimed for, tried to get close to the 40 days, the record mark for the pairs, but
obviously
one thing led to another, and we just couldn't. So that would be the only reason, but at the same time, there's other oceans out there, there's other things to do and see, so...
That was going to be my next question. Have you got another project that you're thinking about at the moment?
Not at the moment, it's just sort of knuckling down back
to
work.
Give the poor man a chance.
I've got things he could do, don't you worry.
And I don't know if my girlfriend would be too keen on it. certainly a couple of running things I think coming up. I know that Dan's signed up to the Marathon de Sable, which is, I think, 7 marathons and 7 days in Sahara. So he's got that to look forward to, and maybe I'll join him, but we'll have to wait and see.
Ollie, I mean, it's almost no words to describe the achievement that you two guys had with this. It's absolutely fantastic. We're really made up for you. And we're really pleased that, you know, we spoke to you before you went, and we heard about all the preparations and all the things and all the concerns that you had about it. And then to go out there and blow everyone's socks off and actually win your race. It's brilliant enough to have made it in one piece, to have actually won it as well. It's just a fabulous, fabulous achievement. And we're in total awe of yourself and Dan over this. It's absolutely brilliant. Did you get it? Did you like my pun?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I want to ask Ollie, I know you're winding up. I want to ask Ollie something. Apart from your lovely girlfriend, what did you and Dan miss most? And what was the first thing you did, you know, when you got back on land and away from everyone else?
I think it was, certainly the people we missed most, just catching up with people when we got back in. Didn't miss aspects of food as much as I thought, but certainly a fruit salad I missed when I was halfway out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a cold beer.
Right.
But no, thank you to you guys for having us on again.
Absolute really pleasure.
Support and likewise with Rift and all of our other sponsors.
Absolute pleasure.
We wouldn't be able to do it without you guys, so thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure. And anybody that wants to find out, there is a blog on the Campus Radio website that tells you all about this, and it's got all the web links to Ollie and Dan's website and the Challenge website. I think you can still donate money?
Yes, yeah, we'll keep that open until the boat's sold.
Brilliant.
And so checks are passed over, so please help out. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the links are on the Campus Radio blog. We'll post the links to that so that everybody knows. Ollie, fantastic achievement. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show again. It's been an absolute pleasure to spend 10 or 15 minutes talking about this wonderful, wonderful thing that you've done. And we wish you much luck for the future.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, and take care of yourselves.
Yeah, cheers, Ollie.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Incredible story there.
Absolutely incredible story. Ollie Clark, Tusker.